You're listening to the MLS Fantasy Insider, bringing you weekly tips, tricks, and advice for the official MLS fantasy game. Hello and welcome to the MLS Fantasy Insider, our preview of round 9 of the 2024 MLS fantasy season. This episode is brought to you by Pressure, which is something the Columbus Crew should definitely not be feeling right now. Brought to you by the amazing MLS Fantasy Patreon supporters. It's because of you that we are able to keep this project going. Find out more about our Patreon over at patreon.com/MLSFI. And also a special brought to you by our good friend Ranchinator, who is at his birthday today. So happy birthday to Ranch. I'm your host, Reed Connolly from MLSFantasyBoss.com. And tonight I'm joined by my partner in fantasy, Christian Ward. How are you doing tonight, man?
Doing great. How are you, Reed?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking. Ashley is at home. Her husband is sick, and so she is working on taking care of her little one. So she was not able to join us tonight, but she is such a trooper. She did send over some picks and some recap about her thoughts from the previous round. So big thanks to her, and we do expect to see her back. Well, we hope to see her back next week. I was going to say we do, but that all depends about how her family's doing. So we're going to see her very shortly. Thanks, everyone who is joining us in chat. So excited to see you here. But before we just jump right into our quick little recap of round 8, Christian has some cool news that I think would be fun for him to share with everyone.
So I got a direct message from a dude at some point last week, and apparently this dude is in our Discord, and his name is John. His handle is John, and it happens that his name is John Mueller, and he is a senior staff writer for The Athletic, and he mainly covers like Premier League and European leagues and stuff, but he definitely covers MLS as well, but he's not mainly on MLS. But he's one of us sickos, and he's playing MLS Fantasy, and he happens to be in second place right now. the Saturday after he interviewed me, and he also interviewed Verks, who was in first for a while, and he interviewed another person as well. And so he's going to write an article. It might not come out until like next year. I have no idea. But I thought that was pretty cool that a guy from The Athletic, a senior writer from The Athletic, is interested in our fantasy game and even plays it, even does well, and wants to get the word out. And that's really cool in my book.
That is amazing. That is so awesome. Look forward to hearing about when that does come out. We'll definitely plug it up. But that is awesome news. And I wanted to give Christian a chance to shout that out. And also, just as I start going through the top teams in the overall data, like so many names I see who are a part of our Discord community. And so it's so awesome to see everyone doing so well and the community so well represented. And I want to mention that to also use that to highlight a chance. If you're listening to this show for the first time, check out the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord, because these players are doing well. They are active in the community and are there to answer questions. So, I mean, Christian is one of our main admins, the main admin, and he's there all the time. We had Isaac on the show with us last week, and he frequently is answering questions in general chat. And so people engage all the time in the community. And so if you're listening for the first time, some of the best players in the game are right now fifth place boy named Sue. That's Wojo. He was on the show a few weeks ago. Like, some of the best players in the game are in our community and are engaging with others. So just stop by and check it out. It is super, super fun. I know those of you in the chat right now, you're there all the time, but anyone who's just listening, check it out. It's amazing. If you haven't yet and you do regularly listen, go. What's stopping you? All right, well, let's just jump right in what we're here for. That's the quick recap that we have of round 8. Christian, take it away.
Well, this week, it wasn't the juggernaut that I was hoping for, but it was still respectable. I had 96 points. I ended on 96. And yeah, that's not a lot of people got better than that. About 150 people got better than that. Anyway, 96 points, but I've managed to cling by the skin of my nails onto first overall. I was actually pretty afraid that I was going to drop there for a while. But I did lose two of my head-to-heads, one of them being to Tinkerman from shout out to Tinkerman from the Discord chat. He just whooped my butt. I mean, he just whooped my butt with like 108 points or something like that. And then another guy, another Loons fan, beat me by a single point, and I was just kind of mad about that. But anyway, players who impressed. Let's see. Thiago Almada did not impress for like 80 minutes. And then all of a sudden, I mean, you could just like see him wake up. Like that team just like came alive for some reason, and he ends up dropping 12 points. I just could not believe it. I could not believe it. And mainly I couldn't believe it because I didn't pick him. Anyway, Evander scored 14 points against LAFC in LAFC. Or no, my bad. That was in Portland. And I didn't expect that actually. I thought LAFC to be a little more stout than that. But Evander, I think he's pretty unstoppable right now. But before I even go there, I just want to give you a caveat about this week. Columbus's defense is no joke. Even though we've seen them start to concede some goals, yes, they may be on their third string goalkeeper, but do you really want to like risk Portland away to Columbus at all? I don't know. I don't know. So it's debatable, and I'm sure we'll debate it later. Eric Tommy, he scored an absolute banger. Like I saw I didn't watch that game, but I saw the highlight. I'm like he really scored a banger. And I think it actually came right off the right post. Like it was just like it went boom bam in the back of the net. It was like going a billion miles an hour. It was really great. And he ended up with 13 points. He did that against Miami. And Sepp Kowalczyk, he scored an absolute banger as well from like 40 yards out. And in fact, I began to think that like the only person who could do that to the Minnesota United Loons was João Paulo. He scored a João Paulo on us, and I cried a little bit. I admit it, I cried a little bit. I have a little Loons recap I want to share. So the Loons, they're struggling. You know, like I expected more of a dead cat bounce than we got. Even though, yeah, I get it. We were first in the West for like 5 minutes, but we're really, really struggling to create without our creator, Reynoso. He's AWOL once again for the second week, or sorry, for the second season in a row. There's no word on his return. I just want to clear up one thing about that, though. I don't have it in my notes, but I'm kind of riffing here. I did hear that the team actually sent him back to Argentina to get his green
Oh.
card. He did not go by himself. He was there. He was going to play. Everything was great. The team sent him back to get his green card, and he missed the meeting. So he's still there. I don't know if he's just going to wait until they can reschedule the meeting or what. I have no idea what those details are, but it wasn't him just taking off and going AWOL. It was the team sent him there, and they sent him there because they wanted to open a DP or an international slot. Because if he gets his green card, you know, he's not taking up an international slot anymore, which is good because that means the Loons are going to get more people, you know, more players rather. And but probably not now because the bonehead missed his meeting. So, no idea when he's going to be back. There's speculation that we've seen his last appearance in a Loon shirt. Andy Grater literally said that in his article. That not definitively. He asked the question if we have. And you could just tell that the team is sort of like wants to be above all of this, doesn't want it to distract them. Like Khaled said, he's like, we're focused on the players that are here. Let's just focus on that. And I don't want to field any of these questions or fuel any drama. Meanwhile, you look at Pookie out there and he's not feeling it at all. Like he's not feeling it. Like they're not connecting. There's no creation. There's nothing. Like he, and I think this has to do with like Ramsey probably not knowing his players well enough to be like creating a lineup, either that or not listening to McCauley, because McCauley's still there. He's just taking a back seat. And the team under McCauley had more energy, executed way better, especially the gegenpress. They executed that gegenpress so much more energetically and sustainedly than they do. And they look like their old selves now under Ramsey. So I don't know what's happening. Maybe they don't like Ramsey. I don't know what's going on. But I guess the whole point of all this is, if you've got, to answer some loons pending questions, but to also just say, like, dude, just don't pick them for now. Let's let this thing settle. Don't pick them for your fantasy team. Like, we have so many injuries. I mean, we've got a guy who's starting. Like, I thought Heath was an idiot for starting his defensive midfielders on the wings for half a season. Well, Ramsey just put Bonji Longwani on the left wing, a position he's not played before and is clearly visibly uncomfortable playing it. Completely negates his abilities. We aren't scoring because he wants to unlock Jung Sang Bin. So don't pick him. Just don't pick him. That's all I got to say.
Fair enough. Looking at the chat, got some good scores. Got some people who thought they struggled as well with the 70-point scores. Interesting round. Hey, Jacob with 101, fantastic. Nice to see that right there. The average score was 60 points, so I think that's just, of course, everyone average score was probably a little bit higher. You probably needed to be in the 80s to have seen some movement. I got 89 points, and I did increase in the ranks, so I was pretty pleased with that. Had pretty good results with most of my positions. Lennon was my only real dud with two. Had, fortunately, some defensive hits. I went in heavy with Berkey and Parker for the later game and had Tolkien. Originally, I had New York on my bench trying to get that, and then I chickened out and went with the chalk with Charlotte at the end. And so that didn't work out, but I still felt like I was able to make it up with the players I did have. So 89, one, a mixed bag of head-to-heads and not the head-to-heads that I did lose just by a point or two. So definitely really, really competitive, and condolences to Black and Red, where I kept a tradition for him going in the Experts League by denying him a win right there. So sorry about that. Ashley also did okay, 51 points. Total value for her no longer matters. She doesn't care. She only dropped by two spots, overall ranking 21 for her. So she had mixed opinions with that. General impressions from her was Navarro from Colorado, and she wants to know, where did that come from? Do you have an answer for that, Christian? I will be honest right now. I
No.
lost power for a portion of this game week. A tree fell in my neighborhood and took out a power line. So I did not get to see a good chunk of games because I had no electricity. So I did not get to see
It's a
that.
solid
But
reason.
I mean, it is what it is. I couldn't do anything. So, but we know Colorado has been investing in some attacking talent, has been trying to get that to fall, and they've had some success with Jordy Mihailovic earlier in the season. Of course, Bassett's done well for them as well. And so they've got some pieces there, and it's just taking some time. So will this be some sign of things to come for Colorado? I don't know. I mentioned a week or two ago, I was tempted to maybe start opening some bench spots for Colorado, and it's because of some of the results like this.
I have an answer
Go for
where
it.
it came from. San Jose's defense.
That is also a very valid reason we were very skeptical of them as well going into this past round. But Navarro does have a couple of good results, and so we'll talk more about him later as well. Ashley was also impressed with the St. Louis defense and the Real Salt Lake defense. I think more people had hopes for the RSL defense, knowing that Columbus did not have Cucho. I think that was a fairly common, I don't know if it was a bench or a chalky bench, but maybe the tier two chalk outside of that, that was, I saw RSL mentioned fairly often with some of the options that you could have there. But a lot of that was betting on not having Columbus show. And then of course, St. Louis, we talked about with some questions about Austin's attack in general. The DeRussy had been doing fairly well, but last year he was very much outperforming his XG. And so seeing them get the 1-0 was the reason that a lot of us were going with St. Louis as the backup with our keeperoo, because we felt that was a good chance. So good to see that that did come through. Thoughts for her. She's been saying for a few weeks that LA Galaxy are fun again, and they have so many players to choose from. And is Messi a must own, obviously, or a must captain? And that the FC Dallas defense is still struggling. Christian and I will mention all of those things in our final segment, so we will definitely touch on that. For me, I'm going to comment really quickly on Bernardeschi for Toronto. I know a lot of us were looking at Charlotte because of the struggles Toronto had, but the results that came this week, a lot of that was because of Bernardeschi, and that's what Toronto wants from him. Will that be consistent? I have no idea. I am skeptical of it because it has not been consistent so far. But that was why people were betting against it. That's what happened. The guy who needed to produce against a defense that has had strong at the beginning, but has had some mixed results of late with Charlotte. So that was why they were on the bench there. Great to see some points from Benteke. I know that we went back and forth on who would be that sort of third forward spot on the show last week, and Benteke had what we had hoped to be a good match against Orlando. It was for him, but not for DC, as Orlando got some of their pieces back together and put up a good result for them right there. He's no longer the value option that he once was. He's now up at 11 million, and he was at 8 at the beginning of the season. So if you still need a value forward, it is no longer Benteke. He's right up there in the level of Messi and Suarez. So that just speaks to the quality that he has for fantasy and why he should be in some of your conversations if he is not already. We mentioned the New York Red Bulls clean sheet right there. And I also want to give a tip of the hat to the other New York team with Freese. I know a lot of people mentioned him as an option last week. There were some questions with him not having any clean sheets before, but the comment that I had made was no doubting in his quality as a keeper. A lot of people like what they see, me included, from the type of play that he has. It's just having the defensive unit around him, and they got it done. So good to see that that play was rewarded with points. General thoughts, as Ashley was saying, yes, we're back in that era of Messi is in the lineup in the 18. Do you start him, and is he an always captain situation? Christian and I will get to that, but I think that is a thought that is on the minds of many people, especially as that was a conversation that Ashley, Christian, and I all had, not with each other simultaneously, but the three of us were all talking about it with one another at one point during this past weekend as well, of do we change the captain to Messi? Is it time to do that? So definitely what we're going to discuss tonight is that. I want to mention Bogus over at LAFC. He's got some goals, and I know that oftentimes we have been looking for an LAFC midfielder as your kind of go-to person. We've often, at least in some of the conversations I've had, it's been, I like some defensive options, I like a forward option, but I wish the midfield options were better at LAFC or more consistent. And I don't know if he is going to necessarily be the one to start looking to. He's had some consistent bonus point production, but that's really only produced an okay floor for points. He's not always had the big bandwagon of results from those bonus points, key passes and such that he's been producing. So I'm not sure if this is someone that, if you're looking for that go-to LAFC midfielder, if he's one to throw your lot in with. And then last one I'm going to mention is that a lot of clean managers got clean sheet points by betting against the Dallas office last week, and it happened again this week. The 0-0 game, Dallas against Seattle, which on the other side of that, people were also wondering, do we go with with Seattle again because of the struggles of Dallas. So for those of you who did that, bonus is right there. And I think Dallas is definitely starting to round off solidly the list, at least the few teams that I have of I'm willing to bet against most weeks for some points right there. So I mean, I don't know about you, Christian, but I'm thinking themes like Dallas, Austin, San Jose, question mark Colorado, definitely Chicago. Those are teams that I'm always like, all right, who's playing these guys when I'm starting to build my lineup? Who would you add to that?
No, that's a pretty good list. I would probably caution against doing that with Dallas this week because they're getting Iarramendi back. He was on their bench last week and he's their number 10 actually. And before he got injured, he did some damage.
Love to see.
So we'll see.
He's
He
we'll see.
could be short of breath in Colorado, sure, but
That's right. That's good. We'll
it's
be
not a
talking
foregone
about that.
conclusion that it's that Dallas is going to blank. So,
Yeah, no, it's not. We'll be talking about that in our last segment. So, but yeah, just a little list, throwing some names out there for helping you. I know last week we talked about how things can change between the beginning of the week and end of the week, and here's just some additional thoughts for how we try to build some teams. I tried to share some additional resources this week on Twitter from some other content creators out there who produce content. I do retweet those, not regularly, but periodically I do retweet other people near the end. But I was trying to make a more conscious effort this time to retweet some of the other content creators who have advice that I think is worth following or adding into to your thought process as the rounds are coming to a start. So I try to do that more, just kind of help people and see for who may want to make more decisions as we get closer to game time. So, well, thanks so much, everyone, for sharing your scores. Congratulations to everyone who's doing so well. I hope you're continuing to have fun. We are getting ready to go into round nine, though, and we're going to kick things off with our housekeeping right after this. Hello and welcome back to our housekeeping segment going into round nine. Joining us as well for this segment is Tyler Ranchinator Norman, who's going to be helping us with some of the injury news at the end. And also, happy birthday again to Tyler. There you go. What we've confirmed is that he is not 5 years old. That's all we confirmed during the break.
I told my kids I was five, though, my
Well, there we go.
students.
It's now once again in question. Well, let's do a really quick recap of the MLS Fantasy Boss Pro Rel updates. Champions League, we have two teams tied at 8-0-0. In the Veterans League, we have five teams tied at 6-0-0. But we do have some teams who are starting to break away, such as in the Homegrown League, Ashley is leading the pack with a record of 8-0-0. In the Discovery League, we have Like a Good Neighbor with a record of 7-1-0. Then moving in to our head-to-head leagues, the MLS Fantasy Boss Network, we have the Discord head-to-head with seven teams tied at 8-0-0. We have the Patreon head-to-head with Garth Butchers leading with 8-0-0. And then moving on to the MLS Fantasy Insider Experts Posts Invitational League, we have Wojo, aka Boy Named Sue, it's his team name, who was on a show a few weeks ago with a record of 7-0-1 leading the pack right there. Tough, tough competition indeed. Moving on to actual MLS Fantasy round information. The round starts on Saturday, April 20th at 7:30 p.m. with a lot of teams. This is not our usual Apple TV starting with an early. We have games at 7:30, 8:30, 9:30, I think is one, and then 10:30, maybe not the 9:30. But it's not going to be ideal for our Aroos because of this. But fortunately, we do have a couple teams on Sunday. And a couple of 10:30 games that will make them possible if you like those options right there, which we'll discuss in our next round segment. No teams on a double game week this week, but we do have one team on a bye, which is Philly. So you can definitely make your Aroos work. You have viable options right there. And for CONCACAF Champions Cup, no games are being played this round. So no one is going to be out for that. But of course, Columbus is the last man standing. And they will be playing on the 23rd. Is that right,
Tuesday.
Christian?
Yeah,
Tuesday, the
Tuesday.
23rd. So there may still be roster rotations for Columbus. Pay attention to that as you are deciding who you want to go with. So
There
that was the.
is US Open Cup, but I think it's only the T2 teams that are playing right now.
Yes, the T2 teams and those who Garber
Yeah.
has deemed allowed to play, but they're not there just yet, I don't think so. No big expectations though from interference of Open Cup, I think, this year in general. But we will move on to what we can expect to interfere, and that is the suspensions and injury reports. And there are a few names worth mentioning and some happenings from last week worth keeping in mind. So, Tyler, what do you have for us?
Yeah, we have a lot of suspensions this week and quite a few injuries too. I guess we'll start off with the first red card that happened, which was in the first game of the week. We had Maxime Crépeau take a red for the team by taking out Bouanga at the top of the box. So he's suspended next game. And then we have Kevin Long for Toronto. It picked up a red. And Andreas Reyes for the Red Bulls picked up a red. I love saying that guy's name. It just rolls off the tongue. Andreas Reyes. And then we now have four. Our first round of yellow card accumulation suspensions, there were four players who I identified as being suspended for this week. We have Aaron Herrera for DC has a suspension for yellows. Mateusz Klich is suspended for yellows. Julio Cascante and Edward Atuesta. All of those players have yellow card suspension. And I added a, I think, five or six more that are on watch. So those suspensions are starting to come up pretty quickly.
And as we mentioned last week, the watches aren't as impactful on a non-double game, but still worth keeping in mind.
Yeah. Mostly like, oh, I'm looking at this guy. I don't, when is our next double game? I don't even know when our first double game is. Week 13 or something like that.
We got a little bit.
Yeah, week 13 is our first. May 15th. Regarding injuries, I have just a few. Kokoro for Montreal got tackled, and we think it might be with some sort of lower leg injury, which means that the best striker in MLS is probably going to be starting instead over him, which is Joseph Martinez. DeJuan Jones for the Red Bulls came out with a hamstring injury. Remy Voltaire for SKC has a like foot or ankle injury. Eric Zvietchenko for Houston, their center back, came out with a hamstring. And I don't think this one is as impactful, but Evan Bush. He was the keeper for Columbus this last week, but I think Schulte is supposed to start. But they had their third string playing, so I would just keep an eye on lineups because if they do have a third string playing, you probably want to target against that. And then Fafa Picoult for Vancouver came out, and Andre Blake for Philly came out with a groin. Those are all the injuries that I have, though.
Right. Well, thank you so much for that, Tyler. Of course, you all can check out all of the latest updates for the injury report and call-ups and any other good things that happen that you need to know about over at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community. And just go down to the Fantasy Resources channel and check out the Mega Reference. That is where we have that, plus all sorts of other things like the stats that Christian mentioned a couple of weeks ago when he was on the show, and other general information right there. We have lists of people who are taking set pieces, people who are out of the game and are guaranteed to be able to enable your ruse. So it's just a plethora of information, and you can find it all out at the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord. The easiest way to find that is heading over to MLSFantasyBoss.com/Discord. Click the link right there. It's free, it's fun. And as I mentioned at the top of the show, there are all sorts of fantasy experts who are there who can help you with general advice. So head over there, check it out. No reason not to. So speaking of advice, we'll say a very happy birthday to Tyler before he leaves to go off and celebrate
Yay.
for that. And then we will continue on in our next segment as we talk about our initial player targets and thoughts going into round nine. Hello and welcome back to our third and final segment as we talk about our initial player targets going into round nine, starting as always with keepers and defenders. Christian, who are you looking at?
Well, I wanted to have Jeff Clark. It's not Jeff Cro Jeffrey Clark. That's Steve Clark. I wanted Clark, but that's impossible. without messing up my team. So I'm going to go with Drake Callender on my bench and with Stephen Fry as my fallback. For a hot minute, I had Freese in there, and I know he's probably going to be popular. But we can talk about that a little bit later if you want to talk about it. So Miami have the highest clean sheet probability this week at 39%, and Houston is second at 38%. So naturally, I'm going to try and stack as many of those players as I can. The problem is the timing. So, I've had to do some hinky stuff with my team to make it work. So, for defenders, I have Lennon on my bench, and he's my only defender on my bench because I wanted to start a Houston stack. So I've got Michael Dos Santos and Ethan Bartlow on my pitch. And then I'm playing four at the back with my fourth defender as a scrub because that can be used for any position if you play that formation. You're not locked into that scrub being a defender. So my fallback is Nuhu, just because I'm kind of OCD and I wanted to have a Seattle Sounder there to pair with Stephen Fry. But anyway, that's pretty much it. I mean, I could probably see myself looking at New York City again, mainly because DC is going to be gutless, but Benteke is still going to be there. So I don't know, like he mentioned this, but like half of DC's United's midfield is going to be missing. So that might impact their ability to get Christian Benteke a decent pass in behind the defense to be able to score. So, I mean, if they can't build through the middle, they're going to have to build on the wings, and Herrera's out. So, Benteke is going to be pretty lonely, I think, which is a good reason to look at New York City defenders, I think.
Yeah, all that makes sense. Ashley is in a similar frame of mind. She is looking at Freese or Clark, and then is looking at Fry or McCarthy as some of her keeperoo options. And just to expand on where you were going, Clark messes you up because of the game timing, correct? Yes, and that is because Houston is playing a game at 8:30, which means your only options are going to be a 10:30 game the same night or one of the Sunday teams going forward. So what for you is the time? Because we all know it's not going to start at 8:30. The lineups will lock at 8:30. The game won't start at 8:30. So for you, how long do you wait before you pull the trigger on switching to Seattle, or deciding, no, I'm going to ride this out with Austin?
After years and years of doing this, the answer is always wait till the final whistle blows. Because I have been burned so many times. I have done exactly that. I've taken that. It's a risk. I mean, like you have to measure the risk reward factor or whatever, but you just look, this game has become a clean sheet hunt for, for defenders. So if that's your focus, don't mess with it. Just if you don't like the Sunday teams at all for a clean sheet, which I hate them all four of them. I don't think any of them are going to get a clean sheet. So that's not viable fallbacks for me. So you got to pick somebody from the 6:30 slate or the first slate of games. And to be safe, because they like to show Audi mom like five times before they kick off. You have to have time, all right? Like, what happens if somebody gets injured? Like, how much stoppage time did they have in most of these games last weekend? Was like, I saw like 10 plus minutes. I saw 12 minutes. I saw 8 minutes of stoppage time. That's the time that, because MLS, that everybody concedes. So just don't even bother with it, in my opinion. Like, I know I'm pulling a Blaine, when I say, oh, just put five defenders and two scrubs and just take the best of three from your bench. That's what it sounds like. But believe me, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying, don't put yourself in a position where you are going to be mad. This is supposed to be a fun game. So, like, if you put yourself in that position and you get mad, then you don't have a right to be mad because you did it to yourself. That's basically what I mean. And I believe me, speaking from experience, I've done it to myself out of desperation, out of like, I got to climb the ranks, all the reasons you rationalize this with, just don't do it. Don't do this. Just take the best possible option early and the best possible option late and just let them fall where they may. Seriously, you're just going to hurt yourself otherwise.
Yep, that makes
That's
sense.
what I think.
Ashley is in a similar frame of mind. She's looking at Houston. She's looking at Reagan over from Seattle because of the bonus points for him, center back right there. No, she's looking at Bombito from Colorado, but she has a note saying, "Do I trust this?" And the reason she has that note is because Colorado is going up against Dallas, which, as Christian mentioned at the top of the show, is getting their number 10 back. So I mentioned that Dallas was a team that I was always looking at who they're playing against to bet against. And that has been because their attack has been hindered by injuries. And so this is a week where they could be coming back. And as Christian also mentioned, it is coming back to altitude. And that altitude in Colorado does impact players. And there are questions, though. I am willing to take a flyer on some Colorado players this round, and I'll mention those in our coming sections. Defense is not one of them. So I would not trust this pick, but that's where Ashley's frame of mind is. It's betting against Dallas and wanting to see how they roll out with their number 10 back to see how he does in
If
this
he's
game.
back,
If he's
if he's
back, that's
back.
right. So there's a lot of questions there. So it's not impossible. If they don't have him, I totally understand this pick. I would still make it a bench pick. It just me, because there are still some questions there. It is the 9:30 game, so you've got nowhere to go with this one except for a Sunday team. So that game is a very awkward game for doing some kind of switcheroo within the Saturday time block. Other than that, she's also looking at Lennon, also looking at Alba, going more on the offensive side. For Miami, not necessarily the clean sheet side. And I think that's probably because Gressel has burnt so many people lately, and Alba has been getting some production. So she's going with the hot hand right there.
Did Tyler mention Alba might be hurt?
I don't think he did.
Yeah, that he came off with a knock. So keep an eye on that if you've got
Keep an
Alba
eye.
on your team.
So we'll see. Otherwise, just go with a cheap Miami player and hope for a clean sheet. Maybe Gressel, who knows? But I don't know. Gressel's not quite been performing like I think many of us had hoped he would, fantasy wise at times. For me, I'm looking at the Fry Freeze lineup as well. I've actually got I like Seattle, I like Houston, I like New York City as sort of the three main teams. Some combination of them is what I'm looking at. For me, I'm looking at one of these 7:30 teams being New York as who I want to use to enable my switcheroos with Seattle. And I'm feeling a bit more comfortable just leaving my Houston guys in the starting lineup, just to let them, as Christian was saying, fall as they be. And so I'm really kind of hedging my bets on the Seattle and the New York City teams as well. Miami's a great shout. I think that's definitely something you can look at, especially with those clean sheet numbers that you mentioned, Christian. You had a good recap. I hesitate about Columbus because CCL coming up, CCC coming up, and some of the success Portland has had. I don't know how that will fare for them. Atlanta may not be a bad shot because Cincinnati is struggling. They are not doing very well with pressure. They are not doing very well at getting those shots to go into the back of the net. And so that could be a good result there with Lennon or with one of the center backs if you think that would be a better result right there. So there are definitely options. I would keep away from Chicago. You might have a shot at a road clean sheet with RSL if you wanted to go with something like that. But I think there are some options that you definitely could go with this week. I would not be looking at any Sunday teams either, as you mentioned, Christian. It's just, yeah, I'd be surprised if there were clean sheets coming to us on Sunday. All right, coming to
Yeah.
chat. real quick just to check and see there. Looks like similar information right there. Some people do not think that Dallas will have a proper 10 when it comes down to that game. So could be keep an eye on Colorado. Could be some options right there. And a note that Columbus rotated last weekend, so they should be at full strength this week. They could be at full strength, but don't forget they play CCL on Tuesday. So there may still be some rotations to make sure legs are fresh for Tuesday because, I mean, it's the final four of CCC. You're going all in. You're not holding back at this point.
Yeah.
You're in it for everything. So,
And they're down to their third string goalkeeper.
yeah. So it just is what it is. We might see Cucho. He did not play last week because of the red card. We might see him preview for a little bit this round just to kind of keep his legs there. But yeah, I'd be shocked if Columbus stays full strength for this game. So we shall see. Let's move on to our midfielder picks. Christian, who are you looking at?
Let's see. I've got Amada on the bench right now. I understand that they're playing Cincinnati, but they're playing Cincinnati at home. And the reason I put Amada on the bench is because I knew I was going to be on the show and I wanted to like depose Reed about this. But I'll depose him after I get done with my list. Anyway, Amada's on my bench. Santi. The Rodriguez flavor of Santi is on my field. So is Amin Abassi, Ricky Pooj, and what's his name? Joseph Paintsil. I think this is a very, 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 very ripe week for LA Galaxy to like score 17 goals. I really think so. And which actually means they're going to get blanked. So whatever. And I feel like I have to explain the bossy pick. The bossy pick is just like you were mentioning before, Reed, was do we target bad defenses? And this is the case of me targeting Austin's terrible, awful, stinky
No
wooden
good, very
spoon
bad. Got
defense.
it.
Yeah, it's bad. Let's just put it that way. To summarize, it's bad. So, and then Santi is off, obviously the same kind of thing because I think I'm targeting a missing midfield there. So those are not two that I expected to be chalk. I did not expect many people to put those two on their team, but I think that they're pretty good options this week. And I don't think there's a whole lot of others to be looking at in midfield this week either. I think there's kind of a dearth of really good, solid, like no-brainer midfield picks. And plus, I want to stay away from the away players as
Yeah.
much as I can. So that's why I'm doing it.
I like the Bassi shout out. I mean, we talked about him a week or two ago on the show. I think it was last week on the show. He's had some good bonus point production that's resulted in a couple of rounds of strong points where he didn't produce last week that we have normally seen him produce is with crosses. So I didn't see that game. I don't know what you can
Oh, I
take from
did.
that. How did he What was that impact? What prevented him from getting those crosses and passes? Because those were unusually low for him, but he got the assist, and that's what helped him get what he did.
Minnesota plays with the gegenpress, and I just got done saying that, they're not executing it as energetically as they usually were with under McCauley, but they still are executing it, and they disrupt a lot of attackers that they come up against. And in fact, one of the goals that got scored by Kowalczyk was from 40 yards out. I mean, we were forcing them to shoot 40 yards out, and we were for you know that's how you beat Minnesota is you just do the most outrageous thing you can to try to score, and it'll work. I mean, that's how you beat us. So that's why Bossy probably did not get the return you expected. I never pick against my own team if I can help it. And that's the reason, because I know that we are very disruptive. But I still wouldn't pick us for us either, like at this point, not until we get our proverbial stuff together.
That's fair.
Anyway, there's my bossy
No,
analysis.
I like it. I think it's great. Ashley
Yeah.
has some similar players right there. She's looking at Santi. She's looking at Pooch. She's looking at Painsil. She's looking at Almada. She is debating Rusnak, Heal, Bossy, and Lucho for her fifth players. So Rusnak looking at that favorable match and some of the previous production. Heal, no Champions League concerns for New England at this time on the road to Toronto. And so she's betting against that lineup right there, which I understand. I understand why you would want to do that. Quality player, could make a good argument for him as a fifth right there. I'm not as confident in Cucho, or sorry, Lucho, our chose this week. I'm not as confident in Lucho. Again, away team. And I think there are some better options. Perhaps you could make an argument for a fifth bench play, but I think there are better options this week for fifth bench plays than Lucho. I know you were going to depose me, Christian. I don't know if this is the time for that. Cincinnati is just struggling. They're not doing very well at pressing. They're not doing very well at taking advantage of the opportunities that they get, and they're struggling again at that midfield transition. I mean, it's actually been Kubo who's been getting some more production for us lately right there. And so it's just been struggles. We've not had Roman in the goal, which I think has to be felt that to some extent he's just been so important for the team, even though we have all the other pieces right there. But difficulties in the midfield is really where that's been. And I don't know if Atlanta is a team that's going to allow that opportunity for Cincinnati on the road. So I am hesitant about taking any Cincinnati players right there. For fantasy wise, I hope to all pardon me that there's something that can get the spirit going and get the minds in the right place to come away with something, some kind of result from this. But for fantasy, from my fantasy mind, it's just too risky for me to want to go with. Would be very differential, and I think there are some better options though that we've already mentioned here.
Question is, do you think? I mean, I see Almada on your list. I mean, in fact, he's first on your list.
He is first on my list.
So is that, I mean, that should probably speak for itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they've struggled, that he will do better with the without being able to do well in the midfield transition and really control the midfield. I think that's going to benefit Almada. I mean, he's going to be able to have that room, to have that space to do the things that Almada does, to create and also be dangerous himself.
Okay.
That's my opinion going into it. He had a strong result last week, and we know the kind of player that he is in general. Now,
He's like
captain.
the cardiac kid though, man. Like, I mean, 80 minutes, you're like, I'm gonna turn this off because I'm depressed. And you go, and
Well, if
just the
you're
second you
winning.
think of that, the second you think that, he just like scores a banger or on a free kick or whatever.
We'll see. That's our Atlanta friends weigh in to see what you think about your team going into this round. So other for me though, let's see here. I had Bassett on my team. That's one of the other options I'll throw out here. This is Cole Bassett from Colorado. Has been doing very well for Colorado with the results as of late. He has an 8-9 in his last two games, scoring a goal in each of those. He had a goal way back in round three as well. Otherwise, he's kind of a low floor 5-6 kind of player. But going against Dallas, potentially, I think has some options to produce there. Jordy Mihailovic, of course, is another option you could look at, but it's been Cole Bassett who's been, I think, more consistent and is more in form if you're considering a bench play with the Colorado players there. I also like Eric Tommy over there at Sporting Kansas City. He also has been doing well. He's got two goals last week. He had a bit more production earlier in the season. He's had fairly consistent bonus points as well. Going against against St. Louis this week. So we could say he's kind of on my bubble right there. I don't know if I would go with him. I'd like some of the other options that we've discussed tonight as well. But St. Louis did get that clean sheet last week. But Sporting Kansas City has been doing well on the offensive side. So I do like his chances for some production for this round. Looking over at chat, a lot of the same names being mentioned. Yeah, Cole Bassett mentioned by a couple of people there. Painso Basi Almada. Yep, seeing a lot of Almada in the chat as well right there. So having a triple up of LA Galaxy, that's interesting. It's interesting to go. I've been burnt by so many of these LA players so far this season. But it really is that I have, like, I mean, I tend to have Pooch and Jovalik have been a very close contender for my Barrios this year. They just have not been producing.
You're gonna say that.
Yeah. They both have just not been producing when I have them. So it has made me gun shy to stack up on.
Do me a favor and don't pick them.
Oh, sure. No problem. Well, I'll do what I can for the community. Let's move on and start talking about forwards. Who do you have, Christian?
Oh, who do I have? I have, obviously, I have the golden god, Lionel Messi. And I also do have Jovalic, and he is my triple. He completes the triple. You know, Peck has better, he's, believe it or not, Peck is in better form at the moment. I might actually kind of look at that, but if I didn't want a triple on LA Galaxy, let's just say for the sake of argument that you talked me out of it, I'd probably go with Suarez.
Okay.
I'd probably double up on those two forwards for Miami. And probably shocking to some people, I've got Cucho Hernandez on my bench. And I think that he's just going to shred Portland, frankly.
You think you'll get 90 out of him?
Maybe not, but I don't think we'll need 90 out of him if that's the case.
Okay.
Although, you know, come to think of it, all right, that's a valid question because it has taken him the full 90 plus to be able to score a single goal in a couple of their fixtures at home so far. He has actually struggled a bit, but he is one of those rare forwards that does generate bonus points. So it's not a complete tragedy when, you know, when he doesn't score. And I'm saying all that knowing that the last time he stepped on the pitch and was on my team, he got a giant zero because he got red carded. but we'll see if his Wilfred Nancy, you suspended me, you jerk, hate, is like out of the system, because I think that had to do with it. But yeah, I think I like Kucha this week. There's no way I'm going to take Denny Mwanga right now. I don't think that is a sane or a, I think that's a, like a very risky pick, Mwanga, against the New York Red Bulls. The New York Red Bulls are tops in the league in goals allowed, like preventing them. Like their XGA is top per 90 and overall. So you're basically saying if I pick Mwanga, you know, he's the best player in the league. And clearly he is not the best player in the league right now. He is not an anytime goal scorer. He's an anytime, oops, I put the ball into row double Z scorer. He takes a lot of shots, but he doesn't land them all. And I don't know what's going on with him, but yes, he's dangerous. If this was a lesser team he was up against, he would absolutely be in my side. But he's up against the top defense, home or away, that he could possibly be up against in MLS. So, sorry, I'll pass. It's just too big of a variable for me to reconcile.
No, Makes absolute sense. Ashley is in the same frame of mind as you, as are many people in chat. I agree with Messi 100%. And I'll start talking about some other forwards just so we can have that conversation right there. Again, looking at differential options, looking at Colorado once again with Navarro. We mentioned at the top of the show, he had some success. Two goals this past week, one goal previously against Inter Miami. Before that, no goals since round three. Does not produce bonus points, has not usually gotten a whole lot of shots either. So very, very goal dependent, but going up against Dallas, which has not always been consistent right there. So definitely a differential player right there. I think J Mart has to be. Joseph Martinez is definitely needs to be on that list of potentially a
For
third
sure.
player. Yeah, going up against Orlando, even though Orlando got the win, they were still allowing goals last week to DC. I think Joseph is a very capable forward and will get chances should he get that opportunity as well. So I think he's in there right there.
For sure, for sure.
Benteke, I think that's the worry that all of us who are looking at New York City defense have. Even though DC is not going to be at full strength, it is Benteke. Benteke is a top caliber forward, and he can make the most of his chances. And so he's one you could put there in that third spot. After that, I want to look at that Seattle Vancouver game, because people have been looking at Rui Diaz, people have been talking about Brian White, and there have been some questions about both of these teams' defenses. This is a Cascadia match as well, so this is a big
True.
deal for those teams. So I think it's possible that you look at both of those teams to see if a White or Rui Diaz or one of the other options could be viable as a forward for you, just because of what that game means to these teams. And they are not forwards who do not have some history of being able to score. So it's not as much of a long shot as someone who, I mean, maybe I'll go with like Owusu over there with Toronto, which is more of like that super sub coming off there. Like that's one that I would be hesitant with going with. So
Sure.
I mean, after that, I think we really start to, I don't want to say be at the bottom of the barrel, because they're definitely capable forwards going down through here. I mean, people like Klaus and Maguire, but I'm a little bit less about some of these road teams with their chances. It can be difficult, and I think we have covered a lot of good forwards already, but it looks like most people are looking at this Messi, Jovalich, and Cucho, or some sort of combination right there. At least with Messi and Jovalich, seems to be very, very chalky this round. So find that balance right there of who you want to keep an eye out on that Columbus lineup and see if you get Cucho or a piece of super sub himself. We'll see what happens
Yeah,
right
could be.
there. We shall see.
So I wanted to say something about the Dallas match, the Dallas Colorado match. I know a lot of people are going to view Colorado as being a very good pick, like Colorado attack.
Their bench or differential.
Well, I don't know, man. Like in the Discord all day today, people are talking about Colorado.
Well, that's what I'm trying
Bossy,
to be like.
Mihailovic, and Navarro. And I just want to say something about FC Dallas. Yeah, they're a hot mess. They've been a hot mess all season. Totally. But they have recently gone to a five at the back. And I know, cue the sample size alert, whatever. But they've changed their formation to, three at the back with two actual attacking fullbacks. I don't think they're wing backs, but they do drop back and they do defend, and they haven't conceded a goal since they did, change that format. So I think okay, so like whenever I approach a game week, what I do is I look at, okay, what could possibly go wrong? What assumptions do I need to challenge? And that's an assumption. Like if I see a very perceptive, perceived weak team like Dallas, who hasn't done anything in the season, coming in, going to Colorado at altitude, all these variables that are in Colorado's favor, and I see that happening, I automatically assume, oh, this is a Colorado week. But then I ask myself, what is going to happen if, like, what if it's not? I mean, like, What would have to happen for Colorado to not be successful? Well, obviously, Dallas has to defend. And so then my first thing is I look at their stats for defense and so on and so forth. And sure enough, I found, and this was also mentioned on Discord today, that they haven't conceded a goal since they went stout at the back. So I'm just saying, don't take it for granted that these Colorado picks are necessarily the best picks in the world.
Very fair, very fair. And I'm not trying to say that they are the best picks. I think they are
No,
worth
but those guys
considering.
are.
No, and that's the caveat I want to, the clarification I want to put here is I think this team is worth talking about and that we have to talk about it just as part of the fantasy prep. But at best, these are differentials, these are bench plays, and you're maybe only going with one of them on your team for what you think might happen. So yeah, no, these are definitely like number three, number five players that you're looking at. So not absolute 100% go-tos. But let's wrap everything up tonight with our captain targets. Christian, who do you have?
See. Messy, messy, messy.
Oh, I thought you said let's see for some reason. Yes, no, it is a 1-2-3 triple up. As you say in the notes, messy all day with this team. I think we had mentioned at the top of the show, yeah, like in chat, we're all capping Messi, right? Yeah, at the top of the show, I mean, it's ACM. It is always Captain Messi. It is practically at the point where it's always Captain Messi if he's in the 18 and might even come in off the bench to do something, which in some ways
I don't
is
think he's cap worthy if he's. No.
I said almost,
Okay.
and I think it's very depressing in some ways for that, but that's a different topic that we won't get into. But
Totally.
yeah, going up against Nashville, Messi starting, I think that's a very good opportunity for some very good points, as we saw last week. Would not have been the best captain last week, but a very, very solid captain last week. So yeah, Messi all the way. I think that will be chalk, and you definitely run the risk of losing some points if you do not have him. You could do better, as clearly last week showed. You could do better with a captain pick, but it is a very high risk move when we know that the majority of people are going to be going with Messi, and that could really
Let's
impact
quantify
your
better, though.
rankings. Go for it.
Let's quantify that word better. Because let's be honest, nobody's capping. Okay, so let's go down the list of who did better than Messi last week. Rafael Navarro. You'd be crazy to cap the captain Navarro given his form. Okay. Mateus Bogusz, same thing. Hot, cold, hot, cold, hot,
Yeah,
cold.
yeah.
Untrustworthy. You don't want to captain an untrustworthy player. Evander is the only person
Sure.
who got more points than Messi did, and it was one more point.
Yeah.
So we're talking about a difference of 2 points at week nine. Sure, you might be concerned about Fantasy Champions League. You might be concerned about winning your HGH, but honest to God, if you're taking the long view, just cap Messi.
Yeah.
Don't mess around with all these other, like, you know what I mean? Just, it's not even worth it.
Absolutely.
Evander is just a monster, but he is going to hit a brick wall at some point. We all know this to be true. He's going to come up against a defense, or he's going to be tired some night, or he's going to be off his game, and he's going to burn somebody, and then everybody's going to go off of him.
Yep. Nope.
Messi is never like that at all. He was like that when he first came to the league. Because he was like unfit. But I, you know, like this season, no, I'm sorry. He has not left any points on the table. Like he's your guy 100% of the time. And I'm a total Messi doubter who is now a total Messi convert saying that.
That's
Like,
fair.
I mean, don't overthink it, is what I'm saying.
Absolutely
He's
fair.
in
And
starting lineup. You got a cap, or you got a cap if he's starting.
chat agrees. Chat agrees 100%. So, all right. Well, that's a good summary. Well, that's all that we have for the show tonight. Thank you so much for joining us as we start going through what our initial thoughts are for this game week. Let's wrap everything up with our plugs as usual, Christian.
I'd like to plug the MLS Fantasy Boss on Discord or Discord community. I said that wrong. The
Okay.
Discord community that's sponsored by, wait, why don't you say it?
You can do it. You're doing a real good
You
job.
do it way better than me.
Well, then I'll do it right now. So, yes,
Yeah.
the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community, it is the place to be if you want to chat about all things fantasy soccer for MLS. We have top players, we have just community members who want there to be there to contribute and just some fun general chat, which I've been talking about through the whole show. This has been a very Discord forward show, which we were sort of dared to do in the chat before the show started. But yeah, the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord community is the best fantasy community on the web. You can also check out MLSFantasyBoss.com for the articles that we have. We have the recap of our podcast. We have Team Ranchinator's differential article and the weekly different the re weekly player poll that we collect from members of the MLS Fantasy Boss Discord that is posted there near the end of the week. People ask me why I don't do it on Friday, and that's often because I'm still trying to get people to vote on Friday to participate in all this. And it seems like a good article to post on game day to get people engaged and looking and helping think through lineups and everything. So be sure to go and participate in that as well in the community. So thank you so much, everyone, for joining us tonight. I hope that your round 9 goes well. And as always, good luck.